There were few better hotels in Boston than the Patriot Hotel if you wanted to soak up the city's history. City Hall was practically next door, Faneuil 5 minutes away. You could catch a trolley for the Old Town Tour a block or two down the street. Bunker Hill was a hike, but then the British had found that out as well. The rooms were expensive, twice what they would go for at similarly appointed hotels nearby, but money had never been a major concern for Victoria Goodman, Chelsea Goodman's favorite aunt. Victoria had gotten a job as a secretary for Microsoft very soon after it started, and when she cashed out her stock in the early 1990s, invested in real estate in and around San Francisco, most notably Palo Alto and Menlo Park, the future homes of Facebook and Google. Victoria had that kind of luck. Despite her luck and her money, Victoria was especially easygoing, self-assured yet casual. She met Chelsea in the hotel lobby wearing a blue floral-draped dress that showed off toned upper arms and legs that remained trim and shapely despite the fact that she had recently passed 60. "Just on time," declared Victoria, folding Chelsea to her chest. "I hope you're hungry."
"I wouldn't mind breakfast," answered Chelsea. "How far did you run this morning?"
"It's not the distance, it's the attitude," replied Victoria. "Only 5 miles, but it felt wonderful. It's so marvelous running through the city."
"You'll have to try for the marathon."
"Those days are gone, dear," said Victoria lightly. "I'd never qualify, but thank you for the thought. You didn't bring your young friend?"
"We'll meet her at the aquarium," Chelsea said. "She had to go to church with her dad."
"Well, it is Easter."
"Actually, they're Russian Orthodox, so it's Palm Sunday. He's a single father, and lately he's been trying to instill religion in her."
Chelsea followed Victoria across the paneled lobby to the restaurant entrance, where a maitre d' greeted them with a nod. He had a fresh white rose in his lapel, and the manner of someone who'd been looking forward to this encounter the entire morning. He showed the two women a seat at the far end of the room, then asked if they would care for something to drink while they looked at the menus.
"Mimosas," said Victoria, "and coffee."
"Mimosas?" asked Chelsea.
"Why not? You don't have to work today, and champagne always puts me in the mood for sightseeing." Chelsea was just about to ask how exactly that worked when a loud crack shook the room. The metallic snap was followed by two more, each louder than the other. The noise was unfamiliar to most of the people in the restaurant, but Chelsea had lately had a singular experience that not only made the sound familiar, but warned her subconscious that there was great danger nearby. She leaped up from her seat, and before her aunt could respond, had grabbed her and pushed her to the floor.
"Someone is shooting," Chelsea told Victoria, as the crack of a fresh round of bullets echoed against the deep wood panels of the room. "We have to get out of here."
Chapter 2. Boston, Massachusetts, around the same time. Johnny Givens couldn't help but be impressed. Since coming to Smart Metal, the former FBI agent had seen more than his share of high-tech gizmos and gadgets. The company was the leading manufacturer of standalone robots in the Northeast, and its R&D section was beyond anything Jules Verne, Gene Roddenberry, or William Gibson could have imagined. And he himself was an example of its cutting-edge technology. Having lost his original legs in an accident while working a case, Johnny now walked on a set of prosthetics designed and manufactured by Smart Metal's Biomed division. Yet what he was seeing this morning impressed him even more than his legs, for he was seeing the future of policing. The Boston Police Department had invited Johnny and his immediate boss, Smart Metal Security Director William Bozzoni, to inspect their not-yet-complete command center, a veritable starship enterprise, located in a disaster-proof shelter under the Charles River. Besides the normal communications gear one would find in a Class 1 emergency call center, BCPD Command
had dedicated links to a dozen nearby police departments, the Massachusetts State Police, the National Guard, Homeland Security, and even the Pentagon.